How many of y'all know there's a war going on? It's an eternal war. We are in such a season right now. It's awesome. You know, right now the worldly media is coming against everything that God is trying to do. What's going on in Israel? Now, some people don't understand. In fact, if you really understand something, let me tell you, the United States is asleep, and it's about to be awakened soon. People are asleep big time because of deception that runs rampant in this country. It was a country that is blessed, and it's still blessed because of what this country does, because of what the body of Christ does through this country. That's why this country is blessed. Because if the body of Christ was in here, this country would be cursed. Amen? But this country reaches the world with the gospel. It reaches the world with help. It reaches the world with food and clothing. It reaches the world with medication and technology. It reaches the world. It reaches the world to try to bring peace into the world. Its purpose and its function is to reach the world. Amen? And right now the enemy is trying to come against because he knows his time is short. He knows his time is short. So we are in such a season right now where even the Lord said that be careful that you are not cheated of your reward. Amen? By the deceptions and the things that are going on in the world, be careful that you don't get sucked back into the world because you've been taken out of the world. And taken out of the world is for a purpose, for His glory, because when you're taken out of the world, you're brought into an eternal place. But if you're still a part of this world, then you're brought into a temporary place. Amen? And one of the things that we want to do is have discernment. We want to be able to see. One of the things that God is doing is exposing more and more the enemy. That's why you're seeing all kinds of things coming to the surface. Jesus came into the world and, as God, to expose the enemy so that you and I might learn the ways of the Lord. And what is our purpose then? To constantly expose the enemy. Is everybody with me? That's your purpose and my purpose. Why? Because when the enemy is exposed, then we take ground. Where darkness is, light comes. Amen? That's our function. And our function is to bring love of God. It's to bring the truth of God. It's to bring deliverance and healing to this world. But I'm telling you right now that God is shaking not only the world, shaking the earth, this country, and shaking the body of Christ. And those things that can't hold on, who are not connected with the solid root of Christ, are going to shake off. And that's why we see many people falling. That's why we see many people backsliding. Amen? There are family members that you knew that were walking with God are no longer walking with God. Or they've had a form of religion, but no relationship. That are not doing the things that God is asking them to do because they have no understanding. See, in a relationship brings understanding. Because only the Spirit of God can bring you the true understanding of the things of God. Amen? That's why people read the Bible and don't understand it. They only know it as letter. And that's where the Word says a letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. And we are such in a season right now. And you're going to find that seasons that God is bringing us into are not going to be long seasons. They're short seasons. We're going from season to season quickly. They're short seasons. Because time is actually moving faster. You can watch your clock and it still moves the same time as what you think. But spiritually, supernaturally, time is moving quicker. Is everybody with me? See, the scientists can't figure it out because they only know calculations. They don't know the Spirit. But time is actually moving faster because the one who created time is the one that's causing it to move faster. Didn't he say that if the days were not shortened, that his elect would be deceived? Hello? We're in those days. Now, we know he's talking about Israel in the final revelation, but it's also talking spiritually through the world of what's going on right now. See, you must know, it's our responsibility to know what time and season we're in. And we are in a season right now of change, and how God is handling some of these things is our responsibility to find out what He's doing. He doesn't have to just tell you. It's our responsibility to seek out what's going on. Is everybody understanding that? See, that's why we have fellowship then too, isn't it? Because we can communicate with one another and find out what's going on, and we listen to tapes and other teachings and things that are going on in the world, and we listen to prophecies, we get more understanding of things. It's our responsibility to seek these things out so we know what's going on. Amen? Again, I want to reiterate that our seasons are cut short. They're quick, season from season. Season from season. This is not a carnal season. These are spiritual seasons that God is moving quickly and rapidly. And it's like He's saying, come on aboard. It's like He's moving, you know how those vacation cruise liners, you know, they go from one port to another port. Come on, get on and get off, get on and get off. God is moving rapidly. And the people that are getting off are supposed to be bringing more people that are getting on. Amen. Hallelujah. No, the Bible says that in the days of Noah, when the season is the days of Noah, that's when the Lord is going to return. That is a season. These are seasons. When He says days of, those are specific seasons that we're in. He told us that there's going to be a season of called the beginning of sorrows. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars and so forth. That's a specific season that we are in right now. We are in that season. Right now, the world is trying to figure out how they can bring peace to Israel. There won't be any peace. This will escalate and get bigger and bigger and bigger. It cannot stop. It may have a false sense of stopping, but it can't. Just can't. Eventually, it'll escalate. Things will get crazy. Somebody will step in and say, I got a 7-year peace treaty. Let me tell you something. When you see that, you can say, hallelujah, my redemption draws near. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Things are not going to get better. They're going to have a false sense of getting better. Amen? Oh, praise be to God. What a wonderful season. It's a wonderful time to be alive right now. Now, you know, the media is trying to tell everybody that Israel is destroying innocent individuals. Well, you got to understand something just to make things right. Where Hezbollah is, which is just another demonic force that's coming against Israel. Their whole purpose is to destroy Israel. Iran, their whole purpose is to destroy Israel. Syria, their whole purpose is to destroy Israel. That's what it's all about. I mean, they're burning U.S. flags and Israeli flags. You know? They hate us. They don't even know why they hate us. They have no idea why they hate us. They just hate us. And they're brought up that way. Children are taught in schools to hate United States and Israel. They are programmed from that morning. That is a part of their life. As young children, they are taught to hate. And they are taught to die. Making it honorable. The only honorable death is the death to self, which is according to the Lord. Amen? Amen? Praise God. What one of the things that's, when the Lord was sharing with me about things that are happening right now, and the Bible talks about how the devil walks around as a roaring lion and so forth, trying to destroy, trying to deceive and so forth, take individuals captive. And again, I want to share with you that we are so close to things that are manifesting right now that there are things that are in our arena, demonic forces that are actually being forced to become manifest in the natural realm. They have no choice. Does everybody understand this? I don't know if I can put this in common language, but I'll do my best. The military leaders of these, I don't want to just specify religious, but Islamic terrorists and Hezbollah and Hezbollah and all the rest of these terrorists are actually demonic forces that have come into the natural realm and possess these individuals. They've established their own religion. Is everybody with me? They've established their own religion, and it's the head captain of their religion is the Antichrist. Because their purpose in religion is to come against Christ. And they know the Christ is the head of Israel. They even know it. Do you remember when Jesus came and he went over to the, I think it was an island or something, I don't remember the name of it. And he got off the island, he came in there, and the demons came running up to him and said, "What have we done to you, Son of God?" And then they were all freaked out. They knew him, didn't they? They knew him. Well, let me tell you, they also know that the Christ rules Israel. They know. So they've gathered together in this end time military war to destroy Israel because these demonic forces have come forth into the natural realm, possessing individuals. Amen? See, they have no idea. The individuals have no idea they've been worshiping Satan ever since they've been brought in and brought into the world. They've been worshiping Satan. Why? Because they've been taught to hate. That is Satan's trigger right there. Hatred is his open door. Hatred. And you know what hate always does? Produces fear. Hate always produces fear. Is everybody with me? Because where there's hatred, there's fear. Man, I just hate this. Now, there's a difference between hatred. You and I are to hate evil. Amen. The Bible says hate evil. There's a difference than hating individuals. We don't hate people. We hate evil. Well, see, Satan's kingdom hates people. There's a difference. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in these last days, what's going on is the Lord really wants us to be sensitive, discerning, understanding, staying spiritually positioned. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3? I'm in chapter 6. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We had a powerful little meeting yesterday morning in our Saturday morning meetings, which are just ordained by the Lord. And, you know, we never know what's going to happen. But God does, thank God. And some of the things that are just still burning in my spirit from yesterday's meeting. And I don't know how the Lord's going to implement some of that in today's, but we'll see what he's going to do. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory to God. In verse 1, would you read it with me? "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Now, first of all, I want to tell you what the grace of God is. There's three areas of God's grace we've talked about. First of all, it's God's plan. Remember, the Bible says that the Word became flesh, right? With what? Fullness of truth and what? Grace, because grace is God's plan in action. When people cry out for mercy, mercy is they're asking that God consider them. Lord, have mercy upon me. God's answer is grace. He puts grace in action. So Jesus came as the will of God manifested from the spirit realm into the natural realm. That's why it's called grace. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, we also know that grace holds God's judgment back. And it's also a representation of co-laboring. That's why we are in the age of grace, because he's holding his judgment back, that his plan can come forth to manifest, to rescue as many souls as he can before he moves the spirit of grace and all hell breaks out here on earth. Oh, to God be the glory. Now, let's read this again. "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." The plan of God, your destiny, and your purpose. For he says, "I am except in an acceptable time, I have what? Heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. You know, many of us just didn't get saved instantaneously. Most of us cried out, God, help me. We tried getting help in every other direction. Finally, we looked up to God and said, God, help me. We didn't even know about salvation. I know I didn't. I was going to church since I was a little kid, and I still didn't know about salvation. Played a lot of religion. I mean, we go to church every single morning. Stand up, sit down, take communion, go to school. Say 30 or 40 Hail Marys because I was constantly repenting. But I never knew anything about salvation. I knew he was a Savior. I didn't know he would save me from. I was an altar boy. Here I was on the altar and I still didn't know what I was doing. Didn't read the Bible. Didn't know anything. Hello. Then I realized I needed God. And I really needed God. But I never knew what salvation was. See, so it says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. So he heard us. And then he says, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. So what he did, he brought salvation to me and you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And one of the things that God says is he's going to save Israel in one day. Hallelujah. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, and labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Man, you know you possess all things? Oh, to God be the glory. And verse 11, he says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Now, this is where the Lord is bringing us. He says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, I want to repeat this. He says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your fatal attractions. Hello. But you are restricted by your what? Fatal attractions. Uchawawa. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. And then he begins to tell us, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now again, I want to share with you, this is something very important. He says, listen, don't let the enemy cheat you from your reward by fatal attractions. And that's what's happening right now. Fatal attractions are running rapidly in this country. Fatal attractions. You know, there's a saying that people said, oh, it's love by first sight. No, it's lust by first bite. Hello? Come on, say it with me. It's lust by first bite. It's not love by first sight. That's called fatal attraction. And who just bit you? The serpent. It's lust by first bite. Oh, to God be the glory. Paul pleaded with his church not to fall short of God's plan. in the relationship there was in this relationship with him that was pre-appointed before that they were created, because it's a part of their destiny. What the enemy's trying to do is snare us with fatal attractions to prevent us from fulfilling the destiny that God has predestined us to in his plan. Now listen, many of us have fallen short and bitten that fatal attraction and started to go astray. I don't think there's one person in this room that hasn't gone through that one way or another by a fatal attraction. It's amazing. Fatal attractions. Whoa. It's lust at first bite, huh? Go to Proverbs 30. In verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now listen, this is very powerful, because in this he's talking about a generation that's pure in its own eyes, thinking God is providing. Does everybody understand that? They think that God is providing without checking out whether it's of God or not. It's called fatal attraction. See, many people in the eyes, you know, and that's where the Lord said, listen, take the national grand forest out of your own eye before you take a tree out of somebody else's, right? Hallelujah. Fatal attraction is an area where it's a deadly effect. Many of us have fallen to fatal attractions with the opposite sex, and then found out later that it was nothing but a fatal attraction, and had to pay dearly afterwards. Amen? One way or another. And many times we thought it was God without checking whether it really was of God. You know, just because things fall into place sometimes doesn't always mean it's God, does it? We all know that. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? Let me tell you what the devil loves to do too. He loves to send people to confirm what's not of God. But what the devil does is tell them it is of God. Did you ever get somebody to come up to you and say, yeah, I saw that too? Well, you better find out who showed it to him. Does everybody understand that? You know what? I mean, how many times have you had that confirmation? Somebody's come up to you and you go, man, that must be God then. I mean, somebody else saw it too. Well, who showed them that? Now, that's your responsibility to find out who showed them that. Because if you're going to touch and agree with some of this stuff, you're going to find out that you've just fallen into a fatal attraction, because what the enemy always tries to do is bring false sight. That's why there's false image and so forth. Just like we talked about before. Anybody ever come up to you and tell you about somebody? Boy, did you get an image. Woo-wee. Then come to find out later, that was totally wrong. It was what the devil was telling that person. That person told you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We'll keep going. I can go on there. To God be the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Fatal attractions. Go to Proverbs 12. That's why Jesus said, I come to bring sight to the blind. What the devil loves to do is blind us again. Amen? Fall into fatal attractions. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Let's start at 12. 12:12. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. See, you always tell by the fruit, don't you? See, you got to test the fruit of the decision you're going to make. And you better test the fruit of who you're listening to. You know, the devil will tell you, I mean, and don't get me wrong, God can use anybody. He uses unrighteous individuals. But you better find out whether it's God using that person or not. You know, somebody comes up to me with a bottle of wine in their hand and a cigar and says, "Thus says the Lord." I'm going to say, "Yeah, right." I'm going to tell them, "Thus says the Lord to you." Amen? You're going to know, you know individuals by the fruit, and you're to be a fruit checker. You better find out what's in that basket before you eat of it. Because you'll end up getting the same vision that the devil gave that person. And it'll be a fatal attraction, won't it? You know, one of the powerful things that once the devil begins to impart these things, then that individual begins to actually believe that it's from God in the mind. But in the spirit, knows it's not. But because it wants to do the will of self, it begins to promote what it's just seen or what it's just heard. And as it begins to promote it, it begins to take others with him. Does everybody understand that? Because its whole purpose is to bring down everything associated with God's will. So he'll use somebody. Did you ever be with somebody, all of a sudden everybody's going smooth, things are happening, all of a sudden this person that you thought was doing God's will and was doing God's will, all of a sudden turns. You know what just happened? Fatal attraction. Something just got imparted. I have people come up to me and says, "Yeah, the Lord showed me this. The Lord showed me that." And I'm not saying that it's always, you know, it's not of God. But I'll tell you what, if there's not a witness in my spirit, and I don't know, I'll go to the Lord and I'll say, "Lord, was that you that showed that person this?" He'll let me know. If it's not, usually the first time, I'll know in my spirit. If I'm uncertain, I'll check it. I won't agree with anything unless I know that it's from the Lord. At least that's my hope. Not saying I'm perfect, because I'm certainly not. Believe me, I've agreed with things that I thought was God and wasn't, but I learned. We learn, don't we? We learn going through these things. And then those things when you just know you just made the mistake and then you got to reap it anyways, it's like, "Man, I know I should have done that. Why did I listen?" Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 12, "The wicked covet the catch of evil men." That's what he wants to do, catch evil men to use for their kingdom. But the root of righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Hallelujah. You been in trouble? Are you walking right with God? Then he brings you through. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it right that moment, but it will. A man will be what? Satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Here it is. You ready? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. That's why we're to check out what whoever told you what's going on. Amen? You know, one of Satan's little tools he uses called gossip. Oh, he loves to plant lies. Now remember, it's amazing in how much that the enemy and his purpose is to try to bring down the head, right? He tries to bring down the head of the house. We know that the Lord is the head of everything, but God has people underneath him, right, to take care of certain things. He tries to bring down the head. He tries to bring down the directors of ministries, the pastors, and so. I mean, that's Satan's purpose, is to bring down the head, right? And he'll use anyone and everyone he can, or to come against the move of God. You know, most moves of God have been ceased because of a break in a church, because a move of God was there. Then all of a sudden the church breaks. Because somebody got a fatal attraction and got a witness by somebody else that was God and it wasn't, and the move of God ceased both places. There are places I could tell you it happened. I'm not mentioning them. The church split, thinking one got the vision of God, and God was sending them out, and the anointing stopped. The move of God stopped. Because the church split because of a fatal attraction. Oh, hallelujah. Go to James 4. So we see that fatal attractions are deadly attractions, aren't they? Now, there are fatal attractions that can be a deadly attraction to the enemy. Hello? When the Lord brought forth the witness motorcycle, one of the things that does is turns people's head as it drives down the road. It's a fatal attraction. People look at it, the first thing they see is Christ the King. As it goes by them, it says, "I'll be back, Jesus." That's a fatal attraction. What did it just do? Planted a seed. Of course, they first think, this guy's crazy. That's the carnal mind. What idiot would mess up a bike like that? A foolish one. You know, people driving down the road and on the highways, they have billboards talking about Jesus coming back or repent and so forth. Those are fatal attractions to who? The enemy. God wants me and you to be a fatal attraction out there into the world so that they see Jesus in me and you. There's something in the character that's been created and predestined for you. Your character that was brought forth. Everyone in here has a specific character, don't they? Amen? The problem is the self has been running the life for so many years. Then when you become born again, the Holy Spirit begins to activate that character that you were born with. Self is a killer. James 4, is everybody there? Thank you, Master. Okay, in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? See, yourself is looking for something for satisfaction, isn't it? Yourself. The old man is called self. Me, myself, and I, right? It's looking for satisfaction. It's looking for fulfillment. It loves fatal attractions. Oh. It says in verse 2, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now this fight and war is within. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your fatal attractions. Then he says, what, adulterers? Well, you know, what's the first thing? Look how many marriages are destroyed because another individual comes into play. Look at how many marriages God's trying to restore, but the enemy sends another individual and a fatal attraction, and then that marriage can't be restored, especially where children are involved, because of a fatal attraction, because self is still ruling that life. I see it happen all the time. It disgusts me because people reject counsel. Hallelujah. In verse 4 it says what? Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Ooh. Yourself is an enemy to God. Has everybody got it? Yourself is an enemy to God. Not that God is your enemy. You're his enemy. Because self always serves darkness. It's looking for satisfaction. It's looking for desires, pleasures, fulfillment of self. The self is a seeker of satisfaction and a, you know, like, I'll give you a little example. Like bait or a hook You know, people go fishing, bait or a hook. You know, they put the fish out. Lures, begins to lure the individual. That's what the devil loves to do. He lures his victims with fatal attractions. Like I said, lust at first bite, right? You know, did you ever drive down the road and said, and all of a sudden you see something and the first thing that comes to you and says, I've got to have that? Whoo! That's self. It's self knocking on the window of that car going, I got to have that. You know, little children, they're full of self, aren't they? Amen? I mean, it doesn't make them bad. It's good training for parents. Hallelujah. But, you know, they're so full of self. I want me, myself, and I. That's mine. What do you mean that's yours? You haven't worked a day in your life. Really, they come up to you and take it right out of here. Wow, that's mine. What do you mean that's yours? Where did you buy that? You gave it to me. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's yours. Okay. Hallelujah. But they're full of self, aren't they? Well, as born-again believers, self must be put under your feet. Self is obtained under control by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Again, you and I were born with a character from God. Everyone's character is different. Amen? Everyone's character is different. So God is going to express himself through your character. But the end result is the same, isn't it? But in the meantime, self must be brought forth underneath your feet so that the character of Christ can be manifested through you. We were talking yesterday. See, there's one thing that everyone in this room and in this world and every human being has in common. Self. There isn't one person in here that doesn't lust after anything different than anyone else because of self. Everyone in here has the same thing in common, me, myself, and I. Until Christ, the anointing by the Holy Spirit, begins to birth your character that you were born with in the image and likeness of Christ and begins to flow through you in a different way. But the end result is the same, isn't it? Fulfilling God's destiny and purpose of making it home and bringing souls with you. However he's going to do that is between you and him. But the one thing that will move people out of that destiny is a fatal attraction. Move them right out. Oh, these fatal attractions are known as idols also. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I couldn't shake this morning. It was just one of these things where just the Lord is just going, listen, come in, worship me, and get this out. Get this out. Because it's happening. Look what visualization does to individuals. Look what TV does to individuals. Fatal attractions. You know, we went out to eat last night, and in the menu, I mean, you turn over the page, and there's this woman. You know? I'm trying to read the menu with my wife, with my hand on one side of it. Because there's a fatal attraction on there. I mean, you go into places, man, and it's just, you know, everything is promoted by lust, isn't it? Why? Because lust is associated with self. And what the enemy's trying to do is, that's why it's called self-gratification. Hello? I mean, come on, they're not selling cars because a family needs a vehicle to get children around to bring them back and forth to school or get them to work. They're selling because a girl is sitting on the hood. What's it trying to do? Produce self. Others will look at self. Remember, self loves to promote self. Amen? Fatal attractions. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? You betcha. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors and headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasures, fatal attractions, rather than lovers of God. Having a form of what? Godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now listen, this is Paul writing to Timothy as a minister. Timothy was known as Paul's son. Paul was his spiritual father. When Timothy and Paul got together, Paul would say, my son, Timothy, who was like-minded. He said there wasn't many like-minded with him. But Timothy and Titus were pretty close like-minded with him. And he was warning him, listen, this is, he's not telling him about the world. This is a letter to Timothy telling him in his ministry that this is in the body of Christ. Is everybody with me? He's saying, this is, I'm not telling you about the world. I'm telling you what's going on in the body of Christ, because perilous times are going to come. There's going to be fatal attractions. They're going to move people out of the will of God. They're going to become lovers of self. They're going to become lovers of anything that's associated with self. Well, self loves money, doesn't it? And the purpose of self-loving money is to produce it to fulfill self-satisfaction. You know how many times that the devil tried to tell you, listen, if you had this amount of money, just think what you could do. When we were in the world, man, we thought the money was going to get us out of everything. Being a drug dealer, I just kept thinking, well, one more sale and I'm going to quit. I'm going to take all the money I have and I'm going to quit dealing. Never worked. Okay, well, now I can buy some. I guess I'll buy another limo. Well, maybe another vacation, or there's another 10 or 20,000, or this. Well, okay, one more deal. I'll take one more chance. I'm going out. I'm going to sell the dope tonight. I'll make $10,000 on this deal, $5,000, whatever it is. And after that, here I am willing to risk my life, my children, my wife, everything to fulfill self. Amen? To fulfill self. It was nothing but a lie from the devil, wasn't it? Because I ended up losing all the money anyways. Getting busted and everything else. Lost everything. Why? Trying to fulfill self. He tells us, he said, listen, be careful, because perilous times are coming. We're in them now. He's talking about this being in the body of Christ. You know how many quick, this blows me my mind. You know how many quick scheme deals are going on in the body of Christ? Quick, rich fixer-uppers? I get people call me all the time. Man, I'm telling you, this is of God. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a pyramid deal. But yes, you just have to invest this amount of money. In about 4 weeks, you're going to get well, what's the purpose of it? Well, to bring money into the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Yeah, praise God, it is. That means I don't have to work for it. It should be just brought to me. Hello. It says if it's laid up for the righteous, it's got to be somewhere around here. Means I don't have to try and scheme and do all kinds of other things. Now the Bible says no working, no eating. God expects us to put our labor, you know, our hands to the labor so that we can have fun money to, it says, money that you have to give to someone who's in need. Not to fulfill your own pleasures and lusts. Amen. Now there's nothing wrong. And you know, so many people come, especially when I go into places and I'm around individuals and they're totally out in left field. and they begin to talk about the TV evangelists and so forth. And listen, praise God, the word goes out, but some of them have really taken it overboard. They have. They've made a bad name because everything is to support their TV ministry. Amen? I mean, they've taken it overboard. There's nothing wrong with asking for some finances. There's nothing wrong with that because an individual should not be giving to the man, he's given to God. But some things have gone overboard and it's planted bad seed in the individuals that don't know the truth. Amen? We don't take offerings in our services. The Lord's not led me to. Everybody should know what to do. The offering box is over there. You ought to know what to do. If you're here to be right with God and you're in this building because you want to do the right thing with God, then you should automatically know what to do. Now we teach it in our Bible studies, but we don't take offerings in our anointing services on Friday nights, nor do we take offerings in our Sunday services unless it's specifically directed by the Lord. But I'm not led to do that. You and I as believers should know exactly what to do. You're to give your tithe and offering to God, not to a man. Amen? I'm not going to come out here and try and beg people for money. I'll just hold everybody up and take it. No. Now that would be self, wouldn't it? Aren't you glad we're not religious? Somebody religious one, oh man, that's it, I'm done out of here. Don't give your money to this ministry. Hallelujah. Perilous times are here, brothers and sisters. Now look at, we get confirmation of what Paul is trying to tell Timothy in the next verse. In verse 6 he says, for this sort are those who creep into households or ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Why? Because truth is what sets you free. So they're always having a form of learning. There's a form of godliness there, but they're really not getting set free. You know why? Because they choose not to. They may say they want to, but they really don't. Because self still is running their life. The Lord said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve yourself and God. Hello? Because you'll either hate the one or love the other, right? Now he's talking about money there, but money is a purpose. He said the love of money is the root of all evil, right? There's nothing wrong with the body of Christ. They have money. It takes money to get the word out. It takes money to feed people. It takes money to pay the electricity. It takes money for everything. It'd be nice if we were bartering, but those days are over. Hey man, it takes money. But the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. Amen. Not to have money, but the love of money. So he says, listen, these are the type that come in. He says, and he gives an example. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. How are they corrupted? Fatal attractions. Disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. In other words, they can't grow. They can't grow. They can only go so far. Is everybody with me? Oh, Holly. Go to Judges chapter 16. You know, think about it. The Bible says bad company corrupts good habits, right? Let me tell you, if somebody comes up to you and starts producing a fatal attraction in your mind, it says, walk away. Rebuke them. Fatal attraction can be produced. They produced right in the thoughts, right in the mind. That's where it begins, doesn't it? They begin to come up and tell you all kinds of, yeah, this is how it's going to be, man. This is great, man. You know, we have a 9-month residential discipleship house. The devil is always approaching and using individuals to try to cause them to go astray. The devil tries to do that whether you're in a discipleship house or not, because as a believer, we're all in the discipleship house. We don't leave it. Hello? But the devil will try to utilize someone else. So when someone else has taken that fatal attraction and said and agrees with it, then he begins to try to take that and impart in others so that others will go with them. And that a fatal, and let me tell you something. In our discipleship house, everyone that has left before they were supposed to, 100% have fallen. 100%. And when they rejected the counsel of the Lord to stay longer, they have fallen also. 100%. And if they don't do their aftercare, 100% have fallen. It's amazing. Why? Because God has ordained it that way. 100% guarantee. Now, I'm not saying this to try to keep people in the discipleship house. I don't want anyone there that doesn't want to stay. But you better change your mind to want to stay so that you don't become a casualty by a fatal attraction. Amen? Praise God. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her." Hello. It's real simple. He had a fatal attraction, didn't he? Big time. Now go to verse 4. It says, "Afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Oh, the Delilah, fatal attraction. Everybody's had a Delilah or a Samson. "Afterward it happened that..." "And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, 'Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver.'" Whoa. Behind that fatal attraction is a move of the devil. That demon is going to be rewarded if he can cause you to fall short of God's will. That's what he believes anyways. The devil lies to his own demons. Does everybody understand that? Go to verse 16. "Now Samson was a deliverer of Israel. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death." Let me tell you something. After you've accepted that fatal attraction, you can't stop. "That he told her all his heart." Oh, he opened up all the way now. "And said to her, 'No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" Wow. Like any other man. See, you're not like any other man, men and women of God. You're no longer human. Humans die and go to hell. You're eternal. You can't die. Your flesh may... right? But you're eternal. It's accounted everyone to die once. Well, you've died with Christ. All right? So your flesh is just going to roll off of that spirit of yours, the character that God created you. Self is going with it. Isn't that wonderful? And you and your daddy are going to cruise. Now, when Delilah, verse 18. "So you're not like just any other human. Do you understand that? You are not of the world." See, the devil always wants to keep you a part of this world with fatal attractions. He wants to make you think that you're like everybody else, but you're not. As a man thinketh, so he is. Amen? Verse 18, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more.'" for he has told me all his heart. Oh, look at that fatal attraction did. Wow. So the lords of the Philistine came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lured him to sleep, on his knees, and called for a man, and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Oh, listen to this. Then she began to torment. Think about, now check this out. Remember how many of us have used, right? That fatal attraction. We see the dope. Ooh. We see the booze. Ooh. Then we begin to use. Yeah. And we have all these big stories what we're going to do. Then we wake up, we haven't got 2 nickels to rub together. Right? Then we wake up and what happens? Torment comes. See, the devil convinces you with the fatal attraction, and the next day he's tormenting you. Man, you know you could have fed your children. Come on, you know better. You could have done this. You know you couldn't have done. You know you got that dope. You thought you were going to sell it, and you ended up doing it all. You know that. I mean, man, and he begins to torment you like crazy. Then he convinces you. Well, you know, you might as well just take your life. You're no good to nobody. You're like everybody else. Oh, fatal. How many men and women get caught up in relationships because of that fatal attraction? Then it is nothing but torment. You know why? They never really check fruit. They really never checked it out. Now, verse 20. Ooh, hallelujah. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. She set him right up. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. At other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Remember, fatal attractions always cause the departure of God's presence. Then the Philistines took him and what? Put out his eyes. And brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. Oh, hallelujah. That fatal attraction. Amen. The enemy is behind every fatal attraction to stop the call, prevent the call, and mislead the call in your life. He is there to what? Stop the call, prevent the call, and mislead the call in your life. Go to Mark 6. Is everybody all right? Amen. Mark chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. You know, fatal attractions are also idols. Amen? You know, some of us still hold on to idols that are fatal attractions because some of these things still bring back memories that are causing torment. Amen? They're causing torment. And as you begin to grow and mature in Christ, you're going to find out that you're going to want to get rid of some of these things that were fatal attractions. You know, you're going to want to get rid of all those pictures of your old girlfriends and boyfriends and those pictures when you were real goofy and drunk with the beers in your hand and, you know, all that stuff. You want to get rid of all those things. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In Mark 6, in verse 14, I believe. I guess I better get there. Is everybody there? Mark 6, verse 14. Mm-hmm. Now King Herod heard of him, who Jesus, for his name had become well known, and he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He had been raised from the dead. Now, Herod was freaking out because he killed John the Baptist. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man. And he protected him. So Herod was protecting John the Baptist, wasn't he? Even though he had him in prison. He was protecting him. There's many times he could have put him in prison and didn't. Herod was looking to release John from prison. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So John was actually preaching to Herod. Herod was about to get saved. Does everybody understand this? Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. Fatal attraction. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. Whoa. All because the little girl came and danced before him. He had a fatal attraction. Immediately she came in with haste. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Verse 24. Here we go. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Whoa. And immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on the platter. You don't think Herod just about passed out? He did. Look at it, says verse 26, and the king was exceedingly sorry. You know, sometimes it's too late after you fall into that attraction. Whatever it may be. People have fatal attractions with vehicles and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Material things. And they get themselves in debt. They think it's God. Hi, the Lord blessed me. Yes, my payment's $6,000 a month. That's a blessing from the Lord. It's got two wheels and it drives. It's got nice cold AC. But it's put the person in debt. You know, people who are in debt tremendously, it's hard to serve the Lord because they're so busy trying to get out of debt. So she came into the king, and the king was very sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. He couldn't. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away the corpse and laid it in the tomb. Fatal attraction. Wow. John the Baptist. He suffered because of somebody else's fatal attraction. Amen. Look at King David with Bathsheba. Fatal attraction. Brought a curse on the family line. Amen. Fatal attraction again with idols. And as you get more and more mature. Look at people who live together and stuff like that. Fatal attraction. Then it's hard to get rid of them. Right? We all fall into that. Hallelujah. Do you mind, John, if I share about last night? You know, John and his wife had mentioned some things about getting rid of, you know, John lost his family in an accident years ago. And kept the ashes from his ex-wife and two children. And had them put in these ferns that had, they were statues. So he had shared with me that they wanted to depart with them because they were an idol to him. So we went to dinner last night, and we were going to go to a lake and pour the ashes into a lake. This is actually funny. So, you know, we pulled out these ferns, these statues. What are they? Urns. Ferns. Thank you. Urns. Correct me. Urns. Ferns. That's a plant, ain't it? Hallelujah. They pull out these urns. You know, these urns were, you know, you knew John wasn't saved because it had an angel with breasts. It's amazing, you know. He had a baby angel. There ain't no baby angels, you know. Anyway, so these urns had and the big one was the one with the breasts, you know, this angel with breasts was the big urn. So we prayed and so forth, and it was just beautiful. And, you know, while we were praying, fireworks were going off at this lake, man. It was powerful. We didn't know. That was just God's perfect timing. I mean, telling you, big fireworks are going off. So after we got done praying, we went to the end of the dock. And so John took this big urn, the one with the breasts, and threw it in the lake. Now we were expecting it to go poof. The thing flips over and starts floating around in the lake. We're like going, oh no, that's all we need. I mean, this is a friend of ours lives on the lake there. And so it was out there. And we're trying to go, oh, so we're, in the name of Jesus, come over here. You know? John's in the water trying to roll this urn towards us, you know. He's taking this thing. And it's at night now, and they have a little light at the dock. So we said, okay, well, let's proceed to get the other ones out of the way correctly. So the other ones were busted open, and the ashes, John spread them all out, and so I'm going, Lord, I can't let this thing float around in this people's backyard in the lake. Upside down, big urn with an angel with a breast. So I'm looking for something to get here. So I see this fishing pole with this big bobber on it. I'm going, all right, we got to do something. I start fishing for this thing, right? Here I am going after this idol. And I'm getting behind it, and all of a sudden it catches it, and I'm starting to bring it in a little bit, going, all right, it's coming. You know, finally, after a little bit wild, and John got the net. I mean, we were fishing for idols, you know. John gets the net and brings it up and pulls it in and busts it open and spreads the ashes and so forth. But anyways, we finally accomplished what we were supposed to do, but it was pretty hilarious. You know, I'm glad neighbors didn't come out and, you know, call the police on us or anything like that. Well, hold on a second. Come on up here. Hallelujah.
After we left, we just poured the ashes out into the water, and then I took the urns, not ferns, urns, with me, and I was going to break them and throw them in the garbage. So that's what I did. I went to the 7-Eleven, into the big dumpster. And I smashed them and then threw them in the dumpster. And as soon as I did that, I saw a man screaming. And then the Holy Spirit came upon me and said that was Satan. And, you know, and I was just kind of like freed. Like I broke something. And
hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because that was a fatal attraction. That idol was a fatal. Every time he looked at those things, it brought him to the memories of passive torment. Amen. I mean, it's no coincidence of what happened last night and what God wanted to talk about today, about fatal attractions. Amen? Isn't that powerful, though? So even in these idols and so forth, that are fatal attractions to us, they've got to be dealt with. They've got to be removed. Amen? They've got to be removed. Praise God. Now listen, let's go to Titus. Titus 3. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Titus chapter 3. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. There is freedom. Freedom. You know, truth sets us free, doesn't it? Amen. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Does everybody see that? Constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now go to Philippians 3. Thank you, Master. Fatal attractions. Man, that's what it means. Fatal, deadly. Philippians 3. Hallelujah. Can you see us fishing out there for this thing floating in the water? Oh, Lord, it was hilarious. An angel with breasts. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 17. Would you read it with me, please? Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, fatal attractions. You know, food can be a fatal attraction. It can become an idol. Some people go to great lengths to go to their special place to get something to eat. Or overbearing, overeat. You know, throwing food away is not a sin. Overeating is. Amen? You know, it's amazing how we were brought up with, man, don't throw that food away. It's a sin. You got to eat everything on your plate. No, that's the sin. Traditions of men. That's what that is. Why? Because overeating brings death to the body, doesn't it? It brings damage to the body. Amen? And God said, don't destroy this body. Don't hurt it, or I'll destroy it. Oh, hallelujah. Don't lose sight. Amen? Don't lose sight. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 4. This is powerful. It says, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Right? In other words, self, the new character, the new person in you, is groaning to be set free from self. Because it wants to be more clothed with God's glory, with whom God, which we, you and I were already created in that new creation. We groan within ourselves to be set free from self. Oh, hallelujah. Now, it says, for what now? For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by fatal attractions. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, that the terror of the Lord we persuade men, but we are well-known to God, and also trust is well-known in your consciences. Amen? Go to Ephesians 2. One more scripture after this and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Ooh. That's for me and you, man. Amen. Glory to God. Creating one new man. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And I'm going to close in Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Is everybody okay? Amen. Did you get it?
Yes.
Fatal attractions are deadly. Amen? Deadly. They're not ferns. They're deadly. Hallelujah. And verse 17, read it with me. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, sucked in by fatal attractions, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanliness with greediness, associated with what? Fatal attractions. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man self, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. So it's our responsibility to put on a new man. It's our responsibility to discern about these fatal attractions. Amen? Time's running out. God's looking for a holy, blemish-free church. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, in every area where there's been a fatal attraction and an idol in our life, we just break that curse off of us right now. Lord, we repent for associating with any of those. Hallelujah. You know, that's why the devil makes all those Playboy books and all those Playgirl books and all the other stuff. Why? To promote fatal attractions. Lust of money. Pride. Fatal attractions. Lord, ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We repent for any touching any unclean thing and being yoked with any fatal attraction in the name of Jesus. We ask that you purge us from these things, washing us with the blood, severing those things, and establishing the character of Christ in us and through us, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name.